We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And away we go, episode 789 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Hey, how's your bracket doing? Is there a more cliche sports question this time of year than how's your bracket doing? And is there a question to which you basically never want to hear the answer less than how's your bracket doing? I'm not sure what is less interesting, hearing about how people's brackets are doing or hearing about how people's fantasy football teams are doing. What is interesting is what happened on Thursday, the first full day of the 2024 NCAA tournament. 16 games, the lesser seed won five of them, including 14-seeded Oakland beating 3-seeded Kentucky 80-76, and three instances of an 11-seed defeating a 6-seed. 11-seeded Duquesne beat 6-seeded BYU 71-67. 11-seeded Oregon ripped 6-seeded South Carolina 87-73, and 11-seeded NC State topped 6-seeded Texas Tech 80-67. People make a big deal about 12 seeds over 5 seeds, but the truth is that in recent NCAA tournament history, the more prevalent occurrence has been an 11 seed over a 6 seed. Hello and welcome to this Friday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Well, however your bracket is doing, I hope that you yourself are doing well, and I hope that you are ready for a terrific guest next segment, the legendary radio play-by-play announcer of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham. 45 seasons and counting for Brad Sham as the radio voice of the Cowboys. And he is going to spend some time with us discussing the many people who this offseason have come to the Commanders from the Cowboys. Head coach Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr., edge defenders Dorrance Armstrong Jr. and Dante Fowler Jr., and center Tyler Biadasz. We as Commanders fans and observers can read about these guys and are in the process of getting to know these guys, but a guy like Brad Sham can provide insights on these guys that we don't yet have. And understand this about Brad, he's not some homer play-by-play guy. Brad tells it like it is. I've had plenty of conversations with Brad over the years. He has never been shy about being critical of the Cowboys. There is an honesty to his commentary that I've always admired. So the great Brad Sham, next segment on Dan Quinn and many other Cowboys turned Commanders. By the way, another free agent acquisition for the Commanders. This one not from the Cowboys. So the Commanders on Thursday afternoon announced the signing of unrestricted free agent corner James Pierre. The 2024 season will be his age at 28 season. Pierre entered the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers as an undrafted free agent at a Florida Atlantic in 2020. He, in fact, made the Steelers' initial 53-man roster for the 2020 season, played for the team for each of the next four seasons, playing in 66 of a possible 67 regular season games during that span, although he played mostly on special teams. So this is a depth signing at corner. He joins Michael Davis and Noah Igbinoghadi as unrestricted free agent corners signed by the Commanders this offseason. Igbinoghadi, by the way, came from the Cowboys. And James Pierre, by the way, is a cousin of Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. Also on the show, the Wizards. They on Thursday night won. Yes, a rare Wizards victory and an impressive victory. A 109-102 win over the Sacramento Kings at Capital One Arena, improving our Wizards to an NBA worst to 12-58 in this regular season. I will properly salute the Wizards later in the show. Before we get to some feedback, some Orioles news. Manager Brandon Hyde, in a pregame session with reporters prior to a 3-2 exhibition loss at the Boston Red Sox in Fort Myers, Florida on Thursday evening, announced the Orioles' regular season opening rotation. It is Corbin Burnes, Grayson Rodriguez, Tyler Wells, Dean Kramer, and Cole Irvin. No surprises, as two key starters, Kyle Bradish and John Means, are not expected to be ready for the start of the regular season. Bradish is dealing with an ulnar collateral ligament sprain in his right elbow. Means is behind other pitchers due to having experienced a left elbow soreness. Late last regular season, Means underwent Tommy John surgery on his left elbow on April 27th, 2022. Also, Hyde said that the 2023 American League Rookie of the Year infielder Gunnar Henderson will mainly play shortstop in the 2024 regular season. He last regular season played shortstop and third base at about an even split. And Hyde said that infielder slash outfielder Jorge Mateo has made the regular season opening major league roster. So that would seem to narrow the path for the consensus number one prospect in baseball, Oriole shortstop slash second baseman Jackson Holliday, making the team's regular season opening major league roster. The Orioles' regular season opener is this Thursday afternoon, March 28th, against the Los Angeles Angels at Oriole Park at Camden Yards at 3:05. The Orioles' 2024 season is their most anticipated season in years, given how good the team was last season and the presence of so many promising young players and, oh yeah, incoming new ownership. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Nate on the possibility of the Commanders trading up from the number two overall pick in the 2024 draft to the number one overall pick in order to take USC quarterback Caleb Williams, writes Nate. Good morning, Al. First off, I want to start by saying thank you for keeping all of us up to date on all of the important DC sports news. I first discovered this show in October 2023 and haven't looked back since. Do you think that there is a scenario in which Washington trades up for Caleb Williams? Thank you very much for that, Nate. Well, never say never, but now that the Bears have traded quarterback Justin Fields, albeit for pennies on the dollar, right, a conditional six-round pick in the 2025 draft from the Steelers, the only way that I see the Commanders trading up to the number one overall pick or trading for whoever the Bears take with that number one overall pick is if Caleb Williams makes it clear that he does not want to play for the Bears. And if you go by Williams' public comments, he's not doing that. I don't know that Caleb Williams is in love with playing for the Bears, but it doesn't appear, and I stress that word appear, that he's going to pull what two other quarterbacks pulled, that he's going to pull a John Elway or an Eli Manning and flat out make it clear that Williams does not want to play for the Bears. Elway did that with the Baltimore Colts, who took him with the number one overall pick in the 1983 draft and then traded him to the Denver Broncos. Eli did that with the San Diego Chargers, who took him with the number one overall pick in the 2004 draft and then traded him to the New York Giants. I think that the Commanders are trading down in the first round is more likely than them trading up, although I would not label them trading down as likely. The likely scenario is them staying at two and taking whichever quarterback they like best. Email from Brad Farnsworth on why we as Commanders fans need to channel the wisdom of former Redskins head coach Jim Zorn. Writes Brad, I say this not for you, but for the general Washington fan. Like you said a few shows ago, how awesome is it to just talk football? You can like or dislike anything that the team has done this offseason, but man, it is fun to be talking about the actual team. It's kind of like when the Caps won the Stanley Cup. Until they won, the conversation was always a yeah, but, or talking about how they would choke. While I still get disappointed and frustrated at times, the ability to have fun while watching changed when the Caps won the Cup, and that feeling for Washington has been rekindled. But that brings me to old Zorny and staying medium. And you have made this point. While I'm excited by what the team has done, make no mistake, we are becoming a team of certified used parts and some brand new parts from an up-and-coming new business. I'm not saying that we can't be like Houston this past season, but I hope that fans keep the enthusiasm through the first 6 weeks of next season. I feel that those weeks could be rough. I think that our season will build. But as happy as we are getting our certified used parts, and I say that as a compliment, there is a plan completely different from the prior regime. I just don't see how we don't have a rough first 6 weeks. The NFL practice rules, less preseason games, a bunch of what appear to be talented people needing to learn to build and work off one another, and essentially half the team being new. I love it all, but man, we need to stay medium on expectations, and if the team stubs its toe out of the gate, maintain the hopeful attitude and enjoy the ride. I don't buy into the 3-year rebuild timeline, but Washington, let's stay medium, have fun rooting for the boys, and enjoy watching an actual professional organization taking a stab at things for a while. Also, I'm late to the party, but congrats on the show's anniversary. Like I've said in the past, I hope that this is better for you than radio because your professionalism, preparedness, and just overall quality of each show is truly superior to what is on the airwaves. Another item I've said before, the opening music is so good, it's good, it fits you. It isn't gimmicky, it isn't trying to be silly, it is an alert to let you know what you are about to get into. We have a little scheduled fun from time to time, but you with the opening music know to get your lunch pail. We are diving into the details. It is perfect. Having said that, I always liked your Go-Go Thursdays on radio. I always think it is cool when you celebrate whatever it is you can about our city. The idea of one day a week, a local band being the lead-in would be very cool for all of the reasons the other listener identified. So count me in as long as it doesn't creep into taking over the gem that is your current opening music. I hope for your continued success. Well, thank you very much for that email, Brad. I appreciate that. And I do believe that is the first time that the intro music for this podcast has been referred to as a gem. The notion that the Commanders may well struggle early in the 2024 regular season due to all of the new coaches and players finding their ways makes total sense. But so much of whatever the team does early in the 2024 regular season and in the season in general is about quarterback, right? If the team hits on whichever quarterback it gets in the first round of the draft, assuming that the team gets a quarterback via the first round of the draft, then everything changes. But yeah, the idea of the team starting off slowly and then gaining steam does make sense. Brad brought up the Houston Texans, who, of course, hit on quarterback C.J. Stroud with the number 2 overall pick in the 2023 draft. Well, the Texans in the 2023 regular season, 3-4 over the first 7 games, 7-3 over the final 10 games. So perhaps that is how the Commanders' 2024 regular season will go, and I think that we would all be just fine with that. 3-4 and then 7-3. Although, yes, we should stay medium. Jim Zorn, a.k.a. the Zorn Star. He had many good sayings, the Zorn Star did. One was stay medium. Another was bringing back the hip hip hooray chant of legendary former Skins head coach and general manager George Allen. Zorn Star, give us some hip hip hooray.
I want to say 3 cheers. It's going to be a hip hip and I want a hooray. Okay? 3 cheers. Hip hip
hooray!
Hip hip
hooray!
Hip hip hooray!
Yeah, hip hip hooray. Email from Michael Wallace on NASCAR. Yes, I said NASCAR. Writes Michael, who I do not believe is the former NASCAR driver, Michael Wallace. I love the show. I've been listening to you since you were doing the Washington Redskins postgame show. I just wanted to let you know there is a young African-American NASCAR truck driver named Roger Carruth. He won at Las Vegas Motor Speedway a couple of weeks ago. This was his first win in that series. I thought that you might give him a shout out because of this and because he graduated from School Without Walls in Washington, D.C. Thank you for your time and for a great show. Well, thank you very much for the email, Michael. That is perhaps the first NASCAR email that I've received in doing this podcast. And absolutely, shout out to Roger Carruth. Roger Carruth is just 21. He competes full-time in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. He won the Victoria's Voice Foundation 200 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway on March 1st. And while he was born in Georgia, he was raised in Brooklyn, New York, and Washington, D.C., and he went to School Without Walls at Francis Stevens in D.C. School Without Walls at Francis Stevens, what is known sometimes as SWWFS. Well, when it comes to gambling, we also have an acronym, and that acronym is MMM, as in Make Money Money. Ain't that right, Snoop Dogg?
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
Yes, thank you, Snoop. Make money, money. Well, March Madness is here, an opportunity to make money, money. And Crab Sports is giving each new customer up to $500 in free bets after placing his or her first qualifying bet. Crab Sports is also offering up to 50% boosts on all college basketball parlays. The more legs that you place, the higher the profit boost that you will receive. If you are betting the tournament, make sure that you are betting locally with Crab Sports, a great sponsor of the Al Galdi podcast. Visit crabsports.com or download the Crab Sports app, which is available in both the App Store and Google Play. Terms and conditions apply. Please gamble responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years of age or older.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you happen to be listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, you can write a review of the podcast saying that you like it. The review can be just a sentence or two, but the reviews help out the podcast a lot. Thank you for doing them. So there, over the years, have been plenty of coaches and players who have gone from the Dallas Cowboys to Washington or vice versa. But we, this offseason, have had quite the migration of coaches and players from the Cowboys to the Commanders, off the Commanders hiring Dan Quinn as their head coach. He spent the last three seasons as the Cowboys defensive coordinator. And so we this offseason have had an influx of coaches and players from the Cowboys. So the Commanders defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., spent the last three seasons as the Cowboys secondary coach and defensive passing game coordinator. The Commanders assistant defensive line coach, Sharif Floyd, spent the 2023 season with the Cowboys as quality control and assistant defensive line coach. So many of the Commanders' free agent acquisitions this offseason have come from the Cowboys. Center Tyler Biadasz, edge defenders Dorrance Armstrong Jr. and Dante Fowler Jr., corner Noah Igbinoghete. And so for insight on these guys and more, I am very pleased to welcome back to the Al Galdi podcast the legendary radio play-by-play voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, for whom the 2023 season was his 45th season calling Cowboys games. Quite a run. You can follow him on X at boys_VOX. Brad, it's very nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Al. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. You know Dan Quinn well. We're just getting to know him, but man, people seem to really like him and be drawn to him. This idea of him being a great leader appears to be very real. What comes to your mind when you think about Quinn?
Well, he is a magnetic. First of all, it's all positive. It's all positive. He's a genuine people person. He does have that kind of magnetic enthusiasm. And it's not just his players who love him. Most people who are around him enjoy being around him. And he treats everyone with such respect that it's impossible not to return that. So I think that it was inevitable that he was going to get another opportunity as a head coach. And I think that it's a very positive move for the Commanders. My guess is that he is, and I know he would tell you this, that he is a better coach than the one who left Seattle several years ago. The experience in Atlanta made him a better coach. I think the last 3 years here made him a better coach. But I think he's not just a defensive coach, although he is very much that. But he's interested in the whole football team. And I just think it's a really positive move for the Commanders. And Joe Witt is a guy who is kind of under the radar. He's very quiet, but just a phenomenal football coach. Really great intelligence, football intellect, kind of keeps to himself, kind of the antithesis of Dan, but people will enjoy working with him and his players will really enjoy playing for him.
The Cowboys in the 2020 season with former Redskins defensive coordinator Mike Nolan as defensive coordinator did not have a very good defense, but the Cowboys with Dan Quinn as defensive coordinator the last three seasons had a very good defense in each season. Now, not so coincidentally, those three seasons coincide with the first three NFL seasons for linebacker / edge defender Micah Parsons. But specific to Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., what jumps out at you in terms of how those guys had this Cowboys defense so good for each of the last three seasons?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Joe is that although he came from Atlanta with Dan, he was actually with Mike McCarthy in Green Bay before that. You know, their defense in 2020, Al, was not very good. It was statistically, historically bad in franchise terms. It was ludicrous. I understand it was the COVID year and all of that, but I'm pretty sure it was a COVID year for everybody. And so they had to go in a completely different direction. And I don't know if someone suggested Dan to Mike or if it was Mike's idea, but the one thing, these guys down here, you know, I understand they haven't won the big prize in quite a while, but the one thing they do is when they bring in coaches, whether it's a head coach or a coordinator, they tend to support him and let him do what he wants to do. So what Dan wanted to do was remake the entire thought process of how you play. Now, some of that had to do with what they already had here. But, for instance, they brought Keanu Neal in. He only lasted the 1 year, but he was he'd been a very good safety in Atlanta, and he made him a linebacker. And over the course of the 3 years, having those players, J'Ron Kearse was a guy who was a good special teams player and pretty good backup safety, and he essentially made him a linebacker and had great success with it. Now, this past year, that kind of bit him when Leighton Vander Esch got hurt, because they wound up with Marquise Bell, who's a safety, playing linebacker most of the year. And at the end, that kind of bit him because they couldn't stand up against the run. But the thing that he will do is come in and he'll look at the personnel that he's got when we get all the way through free agency and the draft. And he's already done that. He's already decided how he wants to play defense, but they'll, let them get their team together. And he will then kind of decide the best way for those players to play. And you're right, when you have good players, it's better than when you don't have good players. But he finds a way to maximize the ones that he has. You mentioned Parsons. It's a great example. They drafted him as a linebacker. If you watched him at Penn State, he was a very good pass rusher, but he was an off-the-ball linebacker, and the thing that attracted people, I had the opportunity to do the Cotton Bowl game that Penn State played in, and I couldn't take my eyes off him on tape or in the game because he was all over the field, and that was both rushing the passer and going side to side, and that was kind of how they envisioned using him. But in the second game of his rookie year, in practice for the second game of his rookie year, DeMarcus Lawrence suffered a bad foot injury in practice. It was either Wednesday or Thursday, and Dan went to Parsons and said, "What do you think about this?" And Parsons said, "Sure." And so what has happened came out of Quinn's idea to kind of change the way he used Parsons. It's a great example to me of how you take what you have and fit it to what you need and what makes it successful and do the best you can with it. He still has to have players, but he's pretty creative and inventive, and he sees the big picture.
The Cowboys in recent years have demonstrated really good player personnel acumen, especially with defensive players. Did Dan Quinn have input in Cowboys player personnel on defense?
No, I'm sure he did. I mean, that's one of, when I said that one of the things they do well is let a guy do that. I mean, with Rod Marinelli, when he was the defensive coordinator, there was a certain, Sharif Floyd's a great example, by the way. Sharif Floyd, if you'll recall, was the number one pick of the Vikings. He did not fit what Marinelli wanted from a defensive lineman, and the Cowboys didn't pick him. They had a chance. And he wound up working for Dan in Atlanta, and Dan brought him from Atlanta to Dallas. So they let coordinators, particularly on defense, they let them pick the kinds of players that they want. Dan Quinn had a tremendous amount to do with the Cowboys drafting Sam Williams. He worked him out at his pro day, and maybe, I don't remember if Sam played in the Senior Bowl, but I know that Dan worked him out, and he will do that quite a bit. And yeah, he had a lot of input into the player selection, especially on his side of the ball.
One of the great finds, of course, has been corner Deron Bland. The Cowboys took him in the fifth round of the 2022 NFL Draft out of Fresno State. He, for the 2023 regular season, was number one in the NFL in interceptions with 9 and was number one in the NFL in pick sixes with 5, which is an NFL record for pick sixes in a regular season. And yes, the record breaker came against the Commanders, their wonderful 45-10 loss at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Although for you, I'm sure that game was, in fact, wonderful. But how much credit does Joe Witt Jr. get for Bland, with Witt having been the Cowboys' secondary coach and defensive passing game coordinator over the last 3 seasons?
I mean, Joe gets some credit for it. Dan gets some credit for it. Al Harris gets a great deal of credit for it because he worked most closely with the cornerbacks. But Bland's a great example of the kind of player that he's looking for. Dan's got an idea of what he wants certain position players to look like if he can get them to fit all of the physical parameters. And Bland is long and fast. So that's kind of where he started with him. And they evaluated the film. They picked him, I think, in the fifth round. And absolutely, Joe gets some credit, and Dan gets some credit. I think Al Harris gets a great deal of credit because he really helped work with the Cowboy cornerbacks.
We're talking Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr., and key Commanders free agent acquisitions from the Cowboys this offseason with the longtime radio play-by-play announcer of the Cowboys, Brad Sham. Looking at some of the Cowboys players who the Commanders have obtained via free agency this offseason, the edge defenders, Dorrance Armstrong Jr. and Dante Fowler Jr. The Commanders on March 14th announced the signing of Armstrong. He got a reported three-year, $33 million contract with $16.125 million fully guaranteed at signing. Spent his first six NFL seasons with the Cowboys, who took him in the fourth round of the 2018 draft out of Kansas. So the Commanders on March 15th announced the signing of Fowler. He got a reported one-year, $3.25 million contract with just $1.43 million fully guaranteed at signing. Fowler played for the Cowboys for the 2022 and 2023 seasons. The Cowboys signed him as an unrestricted free agent in March 2022, then re-signed him as an unrestricted free agent in March 2023. What are the Commanders getting in Armstrong and Fowler?
Well, Dorrance Armstrong is a tremendous young man who more than made the most of his opportunity to get into the league, and he just had a couple of people ahead of him who were blocking his way to being a full-time player. But people who looked at tape knew what he could do, and he's also a phenomenal special teams player. And I think that the Cowboys knew that he was going to command more money than they could afford. They didn't want to lose him, but they knew he was going to command more money on the open market than they could afford to pay him because of his variety of skills. He can rush from inside or out. I don't like to bury a guy in statistics because they can lie or at least mislead, but I think the last 2 years, Dorrance was second or third on the team in sacks. He had 7.5 sacks this last year, I think. He affects a game. He's the right kind of person. He's the right kind of player. He's a guy who'll make anybody's team better. And now he's not a big flashy, 18 sacks guy, but he is a really solid, fundamental player, and he will make big plays, and he will not have missed assignments, and that's a really good signing. Fowler is a role player, but Dan is the guy who knows how to use him. Dan had him at the University of Florida. Remember, he was like the number three pick in the draft by, I think, Jacksonville. Bounced around, had one really good year with the Rams as a starter. But Fowler's a role player, and nobody knew the role that he could play, the when and the where, better than Dan Quinn. So Fowler going with Dan did not surprise me even a little bit. And he's a veteran player. I think the Cowboys have a couple of young guys that they wanted to try to develop. But for the Commanders and for Dan, make perfect sense. He's a good role player.
Tyler Biadasz, the Commanders on March 15th announced the signing of him. He got a reported three-year $29.25 million contract. The hope is that Biadasz provides some much-needed stability at center. Washington, over the last three seasons, dealt with extreme instability at center due to the injury problems of Chase Roullier and Tyler Larson in the 2021 and 2022 seasons, and then the struggles of Nick Gates in the 2023 season. Biotis spent his first four NFL seasons with the Cowboys. They took him in the fourth round of the 2020 draft out of Wisconsin. He, over the last three seasons, played in and started 49 of a possible 51 regular season games. How good of a center was Biotis for the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, good. This was one that I really hated to see leave here because I got to be pretty good friends with him. You know, he followed a really outstanding player in Travis Frederick when Travis retired. And Travis was on a career path to possibly be a Hall of Fame player. And he developed the Guillaume Barre, and I think it was 18, and missed a year. And that took a lot out of him. It also made him kind of reevaluate his life with his kids. So he played in 19, and he was at McCarthy's hiring press conference, then he retired. So here came Biotis, and I think they drafted Tyler partly because Frederick retired. And Biotis stepped in and played right away. Now, there are some physical centers who physically have some attributes that Tyler may not have and may never have. But what he has and what he really developed through his 4 years is a tremendous sense of recognition, leadership, very popular with his teammates, really good. They could rely on him. The guards didn't have to worry about making calls. And he's a really solid, good veteran player. He was good enough to be chosen for the Pro Bowl a year ago. I don't know how many more Pro Bowls he'll make, but I do know that he is a guy the Cowboys now have to replace. I hope they know more than I do, but I don't know that they have his replacement who would play as well as he did on campus right now. He's a very solid player. He will lend stability to the middle of the offensive line, and that's a really good acquisition.
Regarding the Cowboys offseason, a lot of defections, not necessarily shocking given the team's salary cap situation, but has anything about this Cowboys offseason been surprising to you?
Well, the cap is, I try, Al, to stay as far away from the cap as I can, because it gives me a headache. But I think that there are, people have to remember, and no one down here does or cares, that salary cap is not just a one-year thing. The Cowboys are looking at cap implications in 25 that may be worse than this year. So they're looking at redoing, doing extensions and second contracts for C.D. Lamb and Micah Parsons. They certainly don't want to lose those guys. And then, you know, Dak is in his contract year. So I thought that they would have had an extension in place going into free agency, which would have freed up quite a bit more money. And they would maybe have been able to retain a couple of the guys that they lost, or sign some new players. So I'm pleased that they kept a couple of the guys that they've kept. Some of the players who have been separated from them are not surprises. I think Tyler's a great example, Biotis. I really wish they had re-signed him, but knowing what their cap status was, my guess was going to be he's a good enough player like Armstrong that he was going to command more on the open market than they were going to feel comfortable with paying him. Some of the other guys, I mean, they were good enough to play. Now, losing Jonathan Hankins yesterday is not good news. But, you know, they've kept a couple of guys. What makes it look really bad for them is they have had what amounts to a real exodus. Tyron Smith hurt my feelings. I think I would have liked to have seen them find a way to do a deal with him. But if you look at the deal he got from the Jets, and I understand he hasn't done it physically, but if he were to hit all of his incentive markers, he'd make about $20 million this year. And I don't think they can afford to pay a tackle $20 million. Now, he's only going to get like $6 million guaranteed, and they could afford that for a player who I thought last year played not only at a Hall of Fame level, but better than he has in about 5 or 6 years. But that was one that I was hoping that they would be able to keep. The rest of them, you could see Pollard's a good player, but they just have been through 8 years of paying running backs, starting with Zeke Elliott when they drafted him, the fourth pick in the draft, and then you got to pay that guy on the second contract. And then they tagged Pollard, and so that's $10 million and would have been $12 million. And they just didn't want to spend that much at a position where they think that they can get by with players who are paid less. And Pollard was coming off an injury, and he was much better in the second half last year than he was in the first, but he wasn't the player that he was before he got hurt. So most of the guys they've lost are not big surprises. A couple of them are real disappointments. I don't know if I'm surprised at hardly any of them. Hankins may be a little. What makes it look worse for them is the big splashes that the Commanders and the Eagles and the Giants have been able to make. And so it looks like the Cowboys have taken 3 steps back and everybody else has taken 2 or 3 steps forward. And that may in fact be true. And it probably is true today. And we'll see what happens in the rest of free agency, and then you draft, and then you have a little bit better idea. But I don't think there's any question that as you and I talk right now, Dallas is worse than they were, and everybody else in the division is better than they were. And so, but when you look at their cap situation, I think the thing that surprises me is that they had not figured out a way to get a deal, an extension done with Prescott, which would have freed up some money to do a bunch of other things.
There are many reasons that the Commanders are in the situation that they're in, but one of the biggest reasons is bad drafting. Washington has not consistently done the NFL draft well in a very long time. For all of the grief that the Cowboys get for the lack of postseason success since that last Super Bowl title, the one for the 1995 season, the team has gone 12-5 in each of the last 3 regular seasons, and a big reason for that has been the team's drafting. For those who have not committed the Cowboys org chart to memory, they have Jerry Jones as owner, president, and general manager. They have one of his sons, Stephen Jones, as chief operating officer, executive vice president, and director of player personnel. The team has Todd Williams as vice president of football operations / football administration. And the team has Will McClay as vice president of player personnel. And that name may sound especially familiar to Commanders fans. This past January had reports that the Commanders were interested in interviewing McClay for their head of football operations position, but he decided to stay with the Cowboys. Bottom line, who is most responsible for the Cowboys' quality work in recent NFL drafts?
I think it's McClay. Will's an exceptional scout. He's the general manager without a title. Look, Jerry's always going to have that title because he wants it, and it's his franchise. But Jerry Jones does a lot less of the football heavy lifting over the last 10 years than he used to. People don't get that because he chooses to be very visible. Stephen Jones is very involved, and he and McClay basically are in charge of the football decision. Everything has to be run by Jerry. That's fine. Stephen and Will McClay basically are day-to-day running the football operation. And if you just track the results in the draft from the time that they elevated McClay, that's when their draft success really took off. Now, nobody bats 1,000. It's a very inexact science. But the short answer to your question is Will McClay. He is the guy who runs scouting, and he has. This is one of the funny little secrets that fans don't understand a lot in the league. Almost every team is susceptible to a war between scouts and coaches. in the scouting process, in the drafting process, and then scouts can get their noses out of joint if they have worked real hard and found a player and coaches don't like him, and you drafted him anyway, and then they bury the guy. That happens all the time. Coaches can get sideways if they don't like a particular guy or do, and scouts convince management, we got to take him, and then the coaches say, it's not our guy, he can't play for us. That happens all the time. One of Will McClay's greatest traits is an ability to get scouts and coaches working together and being on the same page so that they, nobody agrees on everything all the time, but they really generally have a pretty good consensus when it comes to player selection. So Will McClay is really the answer to your question.
Excellent insight, Brad Sham, the legendary radio play-by-play voice of the Cowboys. Brad, thank you, and have a nice weekend.
Thanks very much. Good to be with you.
Look, no Cowboys fans are we, okay? But the Commanders, in trying to become a good team, should be looking to learn from any team that has done player personnel well. And the Cowboys in recent years have done player personnel well. I don't like saying that, but it's the truth. What's also true is that if you have a case, you should contact Paulson and Nace. Paulson and Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. Chris Nace, Matt Nace, and the rest of the team do excellent work. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged but aren't sure, call Paulson and Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Call 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace has recovered millions of dollars for the sick and injured. How about this? Two verdicts versus Merrill Dow totaling $132 million as Paulson and Nace has taken on Big Pharma and won. Bradley versus the United States of America. Paulson and Nace won a case for which the United States government had to pay nearly $1.8 million. Paulson and Nace took on the U.S. government and won. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace, 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You can also visit PaulsonandNace.com. That's PaulsonandNace.com. Just don't forget to tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace, when tragedy happens, let the family of Paulson and Nace take care of your family. Well, dare I say that the Wizards, our tanking and rebuilding Wizards, they, on Thursday night, authored their best win of the season. Yes, I know, that's like calling someone the nicest person in prison, but still, the Wizards on Thursday night gave us an impressive win, a 109-102 win over the Sacramento Kings at Capital One Arena, improving the Wizards to an NBA worst to 12-58 in this regular season. The Wizards beat a Kings team that came into the game 40-28 in this regular season, and that was mostly healthy, although the Kings were without Maryland product Kevin Huerter, a.k.a. the Red Mamba, due to a left shoulder dislocation. Now, the Wizards did blow a 19-point second-quarter lead in the second quarter, and then blew a 16-point third-quarter lead in the fourth quarter, but they ended the game on a 22-14 run, and they won despite still being without a bunch of players. Tyus Jones did not play for a fourth consecutive game due to a back injury. Marvin Bagley III did not play for a ninth consecutive game due to a back injury. Landry Shamet did not play for a sixth consecutive game due to a left calf strain. Eugene Omoruyi did not play for a second consecutive game due to a sprained right ankle. The Wizards remain without Bilal Coulibaly and Isaiah Livers for the rest of the season. And we still have not seen 7-foot Tristan Vukcevic make his Wizards debut. The Wizards now, two Thursday evenings ago, March 14th, announced the signing of him to a multi-year deal. The Wizards in the 2023 NBA draft took Vukcevic with the number 42 overall pick. However, back for the Wizards were Kyle Kuzma and Denny Avdija, and they were good. Kuzma returned from a two-game absence caused by left shoulder soreness. He had 36 minutes, 34 seconds as a starter, went 3 of 6 on threes, a 10 of 16 on twos, and 2 of 2 on free throws, finished with 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. He did commit 5 turnovers as the Wizards won despite committing 20 turnovers. And Avdija, he returned from a 3-game absence caused by a right knee contusion. He, in 31 minutes, 59 seconds as a starter, went 2 of 3 on threes, 5 of 11 on twos, and 1 of 3 on free throws. He finished with 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists versus 3 turnovers. Additionally, the Wizards' defense was good. Yes, I said that the Wizards' defense was good. They held the Kings to just 11 of 39 on threes and just 34 points in the paint. And the Wizards shot well from the field. They went 10 of 25 on threes and scored 60 points in the paint in going 30 of 47 in the paint. So yes, the Wizards' best win of the season. Here was Wizards interim head coach Brian Keefe, Chief Keefe, during his post-game press conference on Thursday night.
One of the things I liked about, we had some really good stretches of the game, and then we had some tough ones, but we were really resilient. They made some big runs, and they're a good team. Obviously, fighting for a tough playoff spot in the West, but our guys answered the bell and were resilient, and then it was really our defense closed the game out, but we controlled, we got good shots, a couple key offensive rebounds, but our process was good, and this is the stuff that we've been talking about. Each game, we're looking to grow, and it was a good growth for us tonight.
All right. Nice job, Wizards. Next up for the Wizards, home to the Toronto Raptors, Saturday night at 8. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Monday show episode 790. We'll have a lot for you on the Commanders. Also on Monday's show, I'll talk Capitals, college basketball, and Wizards. The Caps have two games this weekend, home to the Carolina Hurricanes Friday night at 7, and home to the Winnipeg Jets Sunday afternoon at 12:30. We this weekend have James Madison and Longwood in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and Virginia Tech and VCU in the second round of the NIT, first round of the NCAA tournament. The James Madison Dukes, they are the 12th seed in the South region, face 5-seeded Wisconsin at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York on Friday night at about 9:40. The Longwood Lancers, they are the 16th seed in the South region, meet 1-seeded Houston at FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee on Friday night at about 9:20. Second round of the NIT, 3-seeded Virginia Tech is at 2-seeded Ohio State Saturday night at 7. VCU is at South Florida Sunday night at 7:30. And the Wizards have one game this weekend, home to the Toronto Raptors Saturday night at 8. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
I want to say 3 cheers. It's going to be a hip hip, and I want a hooray. Okay? 3 cheers.
Hip hip hooray!